Hi there, everyone. Allison Skaberg here, Consolidated Planning Group. We are excited to be partnered today with Steve Friedman, who is a parent, author, and advocate for the Down syndrome community. You know, Consolidated Planning Group, we are a holistic special needs financial planning firm. We do a lot of work in the area of advocacy, and we do a lot of webinars on a weekly basis, and they all live on our YouTube channel, Consolidated Planning Group YouTube channel. And this series in our podcast, it is our goal to bring people like yourself, Steve, out front and center for the families that we serve, to learn a little bit more about you and what you're doing and the things that you're bringing to the community. So tell us a little bit about Beyond Down Syndrome. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, thanks for having me, Allison. I appreciate it. And thanks for everything that you guys are doing over there, because I think you're highlighting some important things for the community. Beyond Down Syndrome is the name of our website, and it's also kind of our mantra. So we want everybody to learn about Down Syndrome, but also have the vision that we can go beyond just the definition or the diagnosis. But we as families, and certainly our self-advocates, can achieve independence and really whatever we really focus on and set our mind to. It was really created largely because our oldest daughter, Gwendolyn, who's now almost 29, has Down syndrome, and she's led us on this fantastic yet unexpected journey of independence and just learning about her, but learning about ourselves as well. And so along the way, we gathered a lot of information and wanted to share that through our website, which also has articles, quizzes, books, and other things available for families to check out.
I love that so much. You know, a lot of our webinars were born, you know, as a parent with kids with disabilities. These webinars and the information that we put out there was just really born out of my own frustration of how difficult everything is. And I eat, sleep, and breathe this. Like, I know this backwards and forwards. And I found the journey pretty difficult. So we, you know, we really aim to put tools and resources in the families, you know, tools and resources in the hands of the families that we serve. So it sounds like a lot of your passion was, driven by your own journey with your daughter and your wife, Jennifer. Tell us a little bit more about Gwendolyn. We want to hear a little bit more about her.
Okay. So she has gone through a journey like anybody has. Any 29-year-old would say they've gone through a journey of living and experiencing different things and aspirations and fears, and she's no different. Back when she was a teenager, she was in public high school and public middle school and so forth, and she was very shy, and she went to a summer program where during the week they did a lot of activities, and on Fridays, the families would come and sit in the audience, and the kids would be up on the stage, and they would do whatever they wanted to do. Some played some music, some did some exercising, some sang. It was whatever they wanted to do. Gwendolyn was so shy, she was not comfortable to do any of that. The only thing they could get her to do was hold a poster board and walk across the stage announcing the next act. And she managed to do it in such a way that the poster board was in front of her face, and so you couldn't even see her. Fast forward about... Yeah, it was an interesting, insightful sort of experience for us. But, you know, fast forward 5 years later, and we were at a National Down Syndrome Convention, and my wife and I were at a session, and Gwendolyn was at a session of her own, and we finished and we went to go pick her up. She was up on the stage singing with a microphone, and there were, I don't know, at least 50 people in the audience, and she was just wailing away. And we realized, you know, she grows in different ways than our other siblings, our other kids grow. Obviously, everybody's different, and it takes maybe her a little while longer, but we've learned never to underestimate her capabilities and her interests. A few years after that, she came home from, she had graduated high school, and she was in a program in Houston for adults with Down syndrome, post-high school. So anywhere from 18 to 58. And she came home one day and she said, "I want to be independent." Well, that's a pretty bold statement for anybody, and certainly that caught us a little bit off guard. And we said, you know, what does that mean to you? And you know, what would you like that to incorporate? And she was in a really talkative mood. So she's pretty talkative, but on her own terms. She was very, very ready to share. So we got a big butcher block piece of paper. We put it on the kitchen counter and we started mind mapping all the things she wanted to do. And keep in mind, she has a sister that's a year younger than her and a brother that's about 7 years younger than her. So she's seeing them grow and leave the house and do all these things. And she said, you know, I want to be able to move out. I want to have a job. I want to have relationships. I want to make money. I want to do all these things. And so we're jotting away and said, you know, there's no reason why you can't do all these things. So we broke it down into steps. You know, what do you need to learn in order to be able to do this? And chores around the house or self-care or safety and security and all these other things that were on her list. And we just started to work on them. And she was just so excited as she achieved certain things, whether it was work or walking to work by herself or just taking care of herself. And could just see the sparkle in her eye. Independence. If anybody talks to Gwendolyn somewhere in the first two sentences, she's going to say the word independence because it is just her core. And she's gone down this path that has really seen her grow and show the initiative that, you know, years ago we weren't so sure she would have. And she's happier and successful. And that was a lot of our journey over the last 10 years.
So much of what you just said, I love so much. And so one thing that you said is that she's 29 years old, and you know, a lot of the families that we talk to, at 18, well, first of all, our neurotypical kids aren't there yet. They have not arrived at 18. Their brains are still forming until age 26. And when we have kids that have disabilities, you mentioned this, you said this, you know, maybe we get there a little bit later than other people, but we get there. And I think for a lot of families, they don't, you know, I think families are hopeful and optimistic, but maybe at 18 or 17 and we're seeing some of those behaviors and some of the off the chain kind of things happening that you feel, I think that there's days of hopelessness. Like there's days of feeling that this isn't there. Independence is not on the horizon, you know, where people are feeling discouraged. So, well, let's talk about this because you have taken action. So, tell us about your book, The Essential Guide for Families with Down Syndrome: Plans and Actions for Independence at Every Stage of Life. So my first question is because, you know, Down syndrome is very specific, but do you think that this book could stretch, for all, you know, individuals with disabilities? Is it conceptual, you know, kind of ideas for independence? Tell us more about your book.
Sure. So it was written with Gwen's story in mind, but it's not a memoir or an autobiography of Gwendolyn. There's a few stories in there, but we've also reached out to a lot of other families that have contributed their personal stories, which is quite humbling for people to open up and share some of their struggles and their triumphs. And I think it really helps for the reader to relate to different stories and say, you know, I definitely can see myself in here, and the advice or the experiences of a different family may certainly help. The book itself, while focused on Down syndrome, applies, I would say, about 80% to other intellectual disabilities. And we've given speeches and workshops with other organizations beyond the Down syndrome community, and they find that a lot of the information resonates. So what we really wanted to do with the book is take all the information that we have gathered for our own journey over the last, especially 10 years, but even before that, and put that into a book, because you were saying earlier that it can be overwhelming for any parents with any teenagers. It can be overwhelming.
Yes.
And certainly independence for people with special needs is overwhelming, because oftentimes people either don't know where to start. They get frustrated because they've got to go chase around and find information from places they don't even know about. They talk to people, they might get some information from the National Down Syndrome Association, they might get information from you guys as well from a financial perspective, but it's bits and pieces that they have to go chase. And oftentimes it's just too much, and many families don't even get started, which is understandable, but the worst kind of situation you can ask for. So what we wanted to do was capture all that in the book. So the book is not about, here's what we did with Gwendolyn, and this is how you can do it too, but it's, here are the important things that families need to consider as their person with Down syndrome gets older. And here are the options. Here are the pros and cons of different options that you might have. Here's resources. So when you decide on your path, you can go to these places and find more information or applications. So you don't have to chase all that information. So we wanted to include things like financial benefits, legal documents that's important to have, health issues that we often focus on health issues when our kids are born, but there's a whole new range of health issues for adults with Down syndrome, many of which are feel somewhat new to the community, because the community itself, the lifespan of people with Down syndrome has more than doubled since the 80s.
Yes.
So a lot of the things like Alzheimer's and mental health challenges were not as much of an issue for the community because most people didn't live past their mid to late 20s. And but
Yeah, and I think when I think of some of the issues that I, you know, that have been prevalent, or that, you know, heart issues or leukemia and lymphomas and things along those lines. But I think, you know, being proactive and kind of looking at those things, and a lot of what we do at Consolidated Planning Group is planning for the future. You know, we're of sound mind and body right now, but we might not be feeling as spry when we're 85. And you know, and kind of planning. You know, a lot of people come to us and they say, you know, I'm hopeful and optimistic, but we're not there yet. I want to plan. I want to hope for the best, but plan for the worst. And you know, I want to make sure that my loved one is taken care of when I'm gone, from all aspects. It's from a health care. It's from a housing. From you know, relationships and friendships and recreation and things like that. It's, you know, and I think in all of these journeys, when you have a loved one with a disability, everything looks a little bit different. I always use the term that we're late to the party often, but we usually get there, and we come big when we get there. But you know, but there's a lot of things to think about at all of these different stages. So I love that you have put this into a book, and kind of I think so often, as families, we're drinking from the fire hose all the time. And so having, you know, information put together in a book and through these webinars and things like that, I think that is the goal, is giving people the information that they need to be successful on their journey. And everybody's success looks a little bit different, and that's totally okay. You know, meeting them where they are. And isn't it funny, at 29, like if you think about yourself 10, 11 years ago when she was 18, and the things that you know now that you didn't know then, the things that you're not worried about anymore because kind of time. Talk to us about that. Like, you know, what has changed over that time? I mean, that's a 10-year time of growth and development and independence. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it really we've learned a lot. You know, there's a lot of information in the book, but a lot of that we didn't know ourselves when she was 18 either. So we scrounged around and picked up that information. And so it gave us more comfort as we talked to more people, families, but also professionals, financial professionals, medical professionals, legal, and so forth. It's helped us to feel like, okay, we understand a lot of what we need to consider, and we've thought about that and planned for it. Whereas I would certainly tell you 10 years ago, like many families, we felt like we kind of fell off a cliff when they finish high school, and it's like, well, now what do we do and where do we go? And I suspect her sitting at home all day is not the best thing for her, and probably not for us either. And we just weren't sure what to do. Now we have a plan. We've worked on that plan. She's grown a lot. 2 years ago, she moved into an independent residential living community, which is fantastic. And she
Love that.
drove that decision. She was involved in it. And she's continuing to grow. Now that she's there, we live not far away, so we get to see her. But the experience has been life-changing for all of us. And I think housing, while we're talking about housing, is one of the hardest things for families to really consider. And we can certainly relate because I think a lot of families feel a bit of shame actually when you consider.
Like they're sticking their child somewhere, but yeah, I know what you're saying. Like pushing them off or something.
Yeah, I think that, you know, year 29 years ago, we kind of assumed that Gwendolyn was going to live with us forever, whatever that meant. And that was our expectation and in a way, our obligation. Only over time did we realize that it was critical that we put Gwendolyn first, person-centered planning, and that so the decisions that we need to make along the way need to be best for her, not what we think or what we felt was right for us, but really what is right for her. How can she best grow and be prepared to be included in the community and do all the things that are amazing things that she'll be able to do in her lifetime? And sitting at home, living under our protective umbrella is not the answer. We also recognize that this is really the first generation of people in the Down syndrome community that are going to outlive their parents. And so when they lived
Yes.
only till 30 or so, then if you wanted them to live at home, that was probably a viable option. Maybe not the best one for them, but a viable option. Nowadays, it's really not practical. And my wife Jennifer and I, wanted to make sure we were part of the discussions on her sustainable future. We didn't want something to happen where we get hit by a bus or we're just not able to take care of her anymore. And suddenly we or our other family members are scrambling to find any place for Gwendolyn to stay, let alone the best place for her. And we wanted to be part of that process. And so we decided, certainly cued by Gwendolyn and her interest to move out, we decided it was important for us to start looking around. So pre-COVID, we looked at 15, 20 different places in the city we lived in and in surrounding cities, and ultimately decided to move to Austin, to a place where it fit right for what Gwendolyn was looking for. And that was a tough choice, but I mean, I won't lie. We were in the car after we dropped her off, and we were sobbing and trying to figure out what we had just done by dropping our young daughter off. But we realized we had gone through the right process. We took our time. We weren't rushing. We looked at lots of options. We knew this was the right place for her, and she was excited about it. And since then, it's just been a great opportunity. But these are tough decisions for families to make. I don't think they're decisions that any of us want to make under pressure. And so what I tell our audiences when we do workshops and other things is, you know, if you're interested in the independence, if you take the book home and you read it, you'll see what the opportunities are, regardless of whether your child is 1 or 21 or 41 or so forth, that you can see the opportunities that are out there and some of the challenges. Then you can also put it on your shelf and think about, when do I need to take that off the shelf? Because it's organized in such a way that you can say, well, now she's 17, so I really need to think about what happens at 18. What are the resources I need to collect and pursue as far as SSI and guardianship and whatever other things that are on the list for that critical age or for other ages? And so we just wanted families to, one, not have to start over and reinvent the wheel that other people have been able to do. And two, don't feel overwhelmed with it. Take one step at a time, and you and your son or daughter is just going to be better off for having gone through that process and help them to achieve their best selves.
Yes, and you know one thing, there's so many things that I'm thinking about right now, but one thing is when I started touring these independent living communities or intentional living communities, I learned very quickly that you're definitely not sticking your child somewhere, okay? Because the residents, whatever they call them, members, residents, whatever they call them, are happy. They have autonomy. They have a job, whether it's there or off-site. They're important. They have friends. They have community. They have their tribe. And when they come home from high school and they sit at home, they lack all of those things. And the thing is this is not just for them and their own benefit, whatever age it is that it might be a good fit, but you hit on something like, what if you get hit by a bus? Well, we've seen things happen, not exactly hit by a bus, but where the parents basically suddenly died. You know, one died and then the other died, you know, quickly. And then we have a loved one with a disability who's just lost their core. And now they're losing everything that they've ever known. The house that they've lived in, it's like their whole world is turned upside down. And it's really, really, it's really disturbing. So sometimes it looks like, you know, maybe your loved one might go to a day program at one of these facilities that have residential living. Maybe they go 2 days a week or 3 days a week. Maybe you work up. But all I would say is I started going on a listening tour and a tour of a lot of these places. And I just loved it so much. Like each one of them had different qualities that I absolutely loved. And you could feel the community there, and you could see that the residents, your kids, are happy there, and some of them to the point where the parents come to visit and they ask, when are you leaving? Or they come home to visit for a weekend and they're like, when can I go back? Because they love it so much. But the other thing is as you know, families, you know, at Consolidated Planning Group, we're planning for the future. You know, the average person is going to spend 25 to 35 years in retirement. And then when we have a child that has a disability that may live 25 to 35 years beyond us, that's like a third retirement bucket. So I often say that this is the marathon, not the sprints, right? Because we're in this for the long haul, right? It's not, it's just not quick and one and done. And the kids graduate college at 22 and off they go to start their life. And it's a different picture that, we're all living at. But what I would say is because parents with kids with disabilities, their semblance of retirement looks vastly different than other families that have neurotypical kids, because the kids don't get up and out and you sail off into the sunset and retire and travel and do all the things that you were going to do one day. So we are really big fans of and promoters of balance, you know, a balance for the parents, balance for the kids. So maybe it's, you know, part-time programs or summer programs. There's all kinds of dip your toe in in the water to kind of test it to see how it goes and that kind of thing. But finding that balance, because there is no award, you know, or reward for relentless caregiving and putting yourself on the back burner, because basically what happens to these caregivers is caregiver burnout, right? Like, and then you lose the ability to provide the caregiving services that you once did for the time that you had planned to do that. So I love, and it sounds like your journey was so very intentional. And I tell people, make a day of it. If you want to go tour one or two places, make a day of it, have lunch, have a date, whatever. But what you'll find is that you're going to be encouraged, not discouraged. Even if the place you go to isn't really even a fit for your loved one, you're smarter for learning about it. And you may know other families that it would be a wonderful fit for their loved one. So we do a lot of webinars on housing for individuals with a disability. And as you know, Steve, that's a hot topic. It is a hot topic. And because there's a lot of challenges that come with it, because it's not free for one thing. And some of them are pretty expensive. And so when we're thinking about retirement and kind of the balance of housing and things like that, do you have any suggestions for people as they're thinking about kind of putting their you know, their plan in place? It's almost like touring colleges, right? Like, do you have any suggestions for their checklist as they're thinking about this?
Yeah, I think that's, you've covered a lot of that. And I think it's really important that we take our time, that we have a bit of a process, right? So again, if we don't have time and we have to rush things, then that can make it challenging. There are lots of different options out there, and they're growing quite a bit because there's a growing demand for independent housing for the intellectually disabilities community broadly. And so I would encourage people to go out and be prepared. So look at the options that you have where you are. If you're mobile, then you can look at other places. I would certainly go do some homework. see if people in your Down Syndrome Association or just in your network are familiar with any of those places. Have they looked at them? Do they know people that are there? Do they know people that chose not to go there? We chose to go to like 15 places in Houston at over a period of time without Gwen, because we didn't want to overwhelm her with 15 different places. So we went on tours. So we prepared our questions. We wanted to make sure we understood what was there. We were really observant. It helps, I think, to have two people there, because one can kind of take notes and think of the questions that we put together, and the other can just observe, because I think watching what's going on, not just with the residents, but also the interaction between the residents and the staff, some places we found them to be really very warm. It was natural warmth, and other places was not so much. Some places were felt like more adult babysitting, and other places felt like, you know, a bit of forced labor. But there were also many places in between, some public and some private pay. And so we really did our homework. And then after we went to all these the first time, we sat down and we were reviewing, you know, which places we really liked or felt were viable. And then we went back with Gwendolyn and had some follow-up to ask different questions, but in some cases, the same questions of different people to see if the answers were consistent. We really focused a lot on safety and security and on communication, because we felt like, you know, here, she's not going to live with us anymore. So right. I can talk to her about how was your day? How are you feeling? What might you need? But I might not get a very deep answer all the time. So I need to make sure that the people that she's living with will call me if they need to, give me updates, the good and the bad, and that they're not hiding anything. And
communication is so key. It's
so critical.
I mean, that's key of everything.
Right. And it's hard to know exactly what you're getting into, but rest assured, if their communication is poor before you've signed on the dotted line and started writing checks, it's only going to get worse once you've already established the relationship. So I would really pay attention to a lot of that sort of thing and take your time. And usually your intuition will also help you to identify which places are right, which are not. Your son or daughter will also kind of get a feel. We saw some places where she was very disengaged when we walked through, and other places where it was like a twinkle in her eye and she was pointing out certain things and, oh, we could do that. And so those are the places we knew were strong contenders, because they were exactly what she was looking for. And she helped us to put together that list of criteria that she and we were looking for.
I love that so much. And, you know, Steve, the thing is the tours. You can go online and look at these places online. And, mm-hmm. and we do kind of a speed dating. There's like three or four, what I call speed dating of living arrangements for individuals with disabilities, where basically we do a 1 hour webinar and they tell us who they are, where they're at, who they serve, how much they cost, whether or not they take mm-hmm. waivers, and if they have openings. And it's so right. is the point is to just give you a quick, fast, and in a hurry rundown of the lay of the landscape, right? And then you can decide to go deeper with them, you know, go tour, go to their website or what have you. So we have all of that on the Consolidated Planning Group YouTube channel. But what I will tell you is you can look at those websites and you, all day long, and they even have virtual tours and things like that. And it is completely different when you have boots on the ground and you've actually gone there for the tour, because you hit the nail mm-hmm. right on the head, Steve. The feeling, you feel it. It either feels it or it doesn't. It's mm-hmm. either a fit or it's not. The observations, the just everything, just the dynamic of everything is completely different than what you just gleaned from the website. Now, mm-hmm. one thing that I want to mention is that a lot of these places have long waiting lists. Some of them mm-hmm. don't, but most of them have a pretty long waiting list. So, and a lot of them require a tour before you can put yourself on the waiting list. I am a total fan of putting yourself on the waiting list, because that gives you the right to say no when you come up. But mm-hmm. if you're not on the waiting list and you need housing, you don't have the right to say yes. So mm-hmm. I really advocate for getting started early, getting your name on the list, touring the different places. So that way you have the most choices as you're kind of, paving that path for independence for your loved one. Well, Steve, it's certainly been a pleasure being here with you today. Again, guys, we've been talking to Steve Friedman, who is a parent, author, and advocate for the Down syndrome community. He is the author of The Essential Guide for Families with Down Syndrome. Tell us, where do they get the book? Can we get this book on Amazon? Tell us about that.
You can get it on Amazon. You can also get it on my website, which is beyonddownsyndrome.net. And on the website, we have weekly blogs about a wide variety of topics that are important for families with Down syndrome. We have quizzes so you can kind of gauge where you are on your independence plan. The book is available online. We have a YouTube series of short, like 10-minute topics, some of which we've covered today. So lots of information. We have a resource page, which I think is really critical so that it helps people to find connections that they've been looking for. So I'd encourage people to check out the website, beyonddownsyndrome.net. And we're also touring around and doing workshops at various different Down syndrome associations and other organizations around the country. So if you're interested in that, you can drop us a note on our website and look for us in a neighborhood near you.
Perfect. It's been Steve Friedman here with Consolidated Planning Group today. Guys, it is certainly our pleasure to bring Steve Friedman out to our community further. Your book sounds amazing, and I'm looking forward to getting it myself. Again, you can get that book at beyonddownsyndrome.net, also on Amazon as well. And Steve, we're going to look forward to partnering with you again soon. At Consolidated Planning Group, we are really focused on helping families get to where they need to be. We're nationally certified as Social Security advisors, members of the Special Needs Planning Academy. When you have a child that's transitioning, whether they're 16 and about to be transitioning, they're 18, or maybe they're 28, maybe they're even older, we can help you along your journey. Don't feel overwhelmed by this process. There are lots of resources out there, lots of tools that you can get your hands on for free. There's a lot of tools and resources that cost, but there are a lot of tools and resources out there that you can put your hands on for free to help you and guide you in the journey. And we certainly hope to work with you in the future. We always offer free consultations. So Steve, until we do another webinar soon, it has been my pleasure meeting with you today. And thank you for taking the time to join our podcast today. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Allison.